in. So we are now starting the interview. And this is an interview with Jim Bates as part of the Austenmere project. The interview took place at Jim's home in Austenmere on Thursday the 10th of July 2014, and it was conducted by Sue Bowden. And my first question to you, Jim, and I'm going to call you Jim, although your full name you're going to tell us in a minute.
Okay.
So your full name?
It's James Alexander Bates.
Date of birth?
1st of the 4th, 32.
And where?
Goulburn, New South Wales.
Right. And just to put you in your context, I'm going to ask you for your mother's full name and date of birth.
Elizabeth Cowan McSevney Frew, and she was born in 1903.
And what about...
in Scotland.
Oh, okay. And what about your father?
His name is Alexander George Bates, and he was born at Binder in New South Wales.
Right. So tell me about your early life. You were born in Goulburn and then...
Born in Goulburn, and then due to medical conditions of my brother, younger brother, we moved to Weewar in 1946.
Mm. So you were a little boy then?
No, well, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Yes.
We moved here in 1946, and we moved up there in 1938.
Right. And what did your father do in Weewar?
He was the line foreman on the PMG, Postmaster General's Department.
Right, and so you went, did you start school up there?
I started school, or what they call it, kindergarten in Goulburn, and then when we left, I went to the public school at Weewar. And from there, because they didn't have certain subjects, I then changed over in 1947 to... the Catholic school, which I took students from other religions in days.
Well, you want to chase the best education, really, don't you? Yeah. So then you were in Weewar for a while, and then you moved again.
Yeah, we moved to Austenmere in 1946.
So you were how old then?
I was 14.
Mm. So you came to Austenmere. Let's talk about how that happened. Why Austenmere from Weewar? It's a big...
Again,
from the inland to the coast.
My brother, John, he gained the health again, so rather than move back to Goulburn, Dad decided to move to Austenmere because he had, or we could become, the foreman of the PMG depot here at Thurule, which used to be in Thurule.
Mm. Mm. And you moved, do you remember coming to Austenmere? How did you get here from Weewar?
Train.
Did you?
Well, mother and my brother moved down by train, but while she was setting up house, father and I went from Weewar to Baraba to Manila, and then from Manila to here, working on the PMG as he did.
Right. And you were still at school, though?
I was still at school.
So you had to come to Austenmere and find a new high school?
Mm. Well, actually, I didn't go to high school. I went to Tech College.
Mm. 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 So what one you went to, that would have been not in Austenmere, or would have...
It was in Wollongong, opposite the railway station.
Mm. 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 So let's come back to Austenmere. Did you come directly to a house? Did you live, was it this house? Or?
No, we used to live on Keddy Hill.
On the main road?
On the road. On the main road.
On the ocean side or the high
ocean side?
Can you remember the number?
No, but it's three houses which are below road level, and we lived in the first one going south, which has just been pulled down.
What an amazing view you must have had from there, watching the whales. They weren't too many then.
No, it was dolphins then.
Yes. Yeah. So, what were your first impressions of Ostonmere?
As I said, I didn't go to school there, but I joined the Church of England fellowship group, and of course that enabled me then with making friends. We went to Ostie Beach, we went to Thrill Picture Theatre. I thought it was a big change.
And a big change for the best. Yeah. And you were training at the technical high school?
No, it was just a school. A school.
Yeah.
Where you could learn trade, metal, woodwork, science, and music. But then I left there in 1948. And joined the army at 16.
Right. So let's go back to Ostonmere, and we'll come back to that. What do you recall of Ostonmere when you got off the train? And you, where did you walk down to the main road to the house?
We had a Willys motor car. So we drove, Dad and I drove all the way down.
From Sydney?
Barrabin.
Mum
and Dad came by train.
So then you had a car and you could get around. And did your mother, was she shopping in Ostonmere then, or was she?
It was part of Ostonmere up on top of Kenny Hill, and then within 6 months, we'd moved to this location. This is not the original house, of course. It was a three-bedroom wooden house, bloody single story.
Sometimes they were holiday cottages, former holiday cottages.
There was no holiday cottages in Boyce Avenue.
Right.
And the house across the road, which is still there, a two-storied one, is the first house to be built in this street.
And what family was that?
That was the Cahills, a very prominent family in the area. And next door to us was a black slate roofed house, which was owned by the Allens. He was a blacksmith, and they were the second house to come into this area. This one, original house, was here, was the third.
And how old were you when they moved to this house?
14.
So it was pretty soon after you moved.
Within 6 months.
Okay, yeah. So this area was... It's changed now. So tell us about how that's changed.
Well, the biggest change in this area is the fact that the park at the back of the house has been changed into a park from a lagoon. And the creek which runs at the back is still there, but the... put in the four-foot pipes to carry all the water from the mountain right through to the beach. We used to catch eels in it, big ones. But very little has changed in that, except it's flat now, no water. The original biggest property owner was down the end, with the line of palm trees facing the beach That house is still here, in its original condition.
And did you know that family?
No, look, no. My family was mainly with the Allens, the Sweeneys across the road, who were only moved out probably 10 years ago. The Dockertys, which lived on the far side near the railway line, the Cales, of course, and the Allens. And the other friends were all down towards the beach area.
In Ostermore Street?
In Allen Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who did you know in Allen Street?
The Dennises. Crikey.
Well, we'll come back to that. Yeah. But I'm interested to know how daily life went on. Your mum was she? She didn't work. Did she work, or was she?
No, lived a housewife.
So I know that Ostermere had, until the 50s, late 50s, 60s, shops in Moore Street, a little grocery shop. Do you remember those? And the butcher?
Yeah, we had a butcher. We had a bakery. A good store, a doctor, a garage, a billiard room, hairdresser, a little, what we called the lolly shop, which was closest to the railway line in Moore Street.
Two butchers.
Yeah, there was one on that side and one the right-hand side.
And did your mum, that's where she did her daily provisions?
Too far away.
Yeah, that's true. I think that people have said in these interviews that it wasn't until the supermarket came to Thoreau where everything shifted.
Changed.
So you, I recall, going to the butcher and the grocer. Do you remember the names of the owners of those shops?
Quite honest, no. I was away. When I was in the army, I moved away for 30 years, so I sort of lost contact with the names of everything.
And your parents were still here, though?
Oh, my parents were still here.
And did your brother go to school in Ostermere?
He went to school in Ostermere.
What was his name?
John Robert Bates. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he worked at the roundhouse at the Rule.
Oh, okay.
He became a fitter and turner apprentice. And then when National Service was called in, he was called into the RAF and moved to Brisbane. And then on one of the trips back on his leave, he was wiped out in his car by another car. And so he didn't complete his apprenticeship.
But your parents continued to live here.
Yeah, we still lived here.
And so you'd be coming backwards and forwards.
From my army leave, yeah.
Yes. And tell me, and they were involved with the Church of England Church?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had the old Mr. Dwyer and his wife, good wife. And with that, most of my friends were in the choir, so I joined the choir. And with Mr. Dwyer and his old T Model Ford, we used to go backward and forwards to Thoreau, to the English Church of England there. As well as singing in the church, which is now gone from Ostermere Street, Moore Street rather, to Thoreau. We used to go at least once a week up and down.
So there was a good community of... And the church in Ostermere, the Church of England, the two churches in Ostermere were quite active, weren't they?
Yeah.
They have good community support.
The one still is the Uniting, which was a Methodist church, I think it is, but it's now a Uniting church. It's still going and very strong.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because there does seem to be a story of quite strong community associations in this village, yeah. Really. Is that your experience?
Yes, it always has been. You've only got to take the Surfly Saving Club.
Were you involved in that?
Yeah, but not in the life-saving side. There was Ian Dennis, myself, and Billy. What's Billy's name?
It'll probably come to you.
We used to work with the people from the kiosk, and we'd stand at the in and out depot. At the road to the park,
yes.
Car park, and we'd collect money for the surf club, which happened every weekend, virtually for years. No, don't do it now. But it was just a donation, put the surf hat out, and the people would fill it up.
Because it's really what do you think that the beach has changed very much? What's your
The only difference now is that the kiosk gone and still the same old shower place for men and women.
And the rock pools. It's quite distinctive having two rock pools.
But the biggest change is the fact that we used to be able to jump from the promenade down to the sand, which was about 6 foot deep down. And that's all gone. It's just filled up. But other than that, the beach is virtually the same as it was. Well, except for the pine trees are a lot higher. But that was the ideal thing, because when it rained, of course, you got wet after coming out of the surf. You went in underneath the promenade. It was a good shelter.
That's right.
Not anymore.
It used to be that that would be a shelter from you'd try and get very close to that big wall, because it'd be a shelter from the sun as well.
It was curved.
Yes,
it's right. Curved, so you could go in underneath the footpath.
Yes.
Yeah. But that, other than that, the beach hasn't changed. Oh, it's got the big new surf club now.
Well, there used to be a surf club, something to do with the surf club at the northern end. What was that?
That was the surf club, and also where they used to keep the boats. Oh, I believe they still do. Some of the big long boats they keep there, and the rescue stuff is down in the new shed, new pavilion. But steps still there. They've been there for years, ever as far back as I can remember. And there's not that much change in there.
And then what about your recollections of the shops at the front? You know, there was always a string of shops with various...
Yeah, well...
doing various things.
Biggest change there is the Galateria, which has taken the place of where the news agency used to be, which used to get flooded every high tide, and not king tide, I should say, not high tide. There's a hairdresser somewhere, but I can't remember where they were.
There was a fish and chip shop down there.
Chip shop. That's it. There was nothing on the corner. No, the only thing that's changed is the actual buildings.
And then Moore Street was the entrance to the sort of more retail area and on that corner was the service station. And then you recall, do you have any memories of the shops going up the hill from the service station? Did you go to them?
Well, it was just the Dental, and then there was the, what do they call it now, the conglomeration of goods shops.
A grocery?
No, it's the, if you go to Winona, at the back of Winona, there's a big cement building behind Noona Garage.
Like an emporium or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's like that, but just the name of the one at Winona. And that used to sell everything.
Oh, really? Because I can recall a pie shop up there.
The bakery used to sell all the stuff that used to Argues. They owned the bakery.
Yes. Do you mean the bakery on the corner near the station?
Yeah, where the
vet is now.
That was Argues Bakery, and that was there as long as I can remember. And opposite them was the, as I said, the little lolly shop, the barber shop, and the pool room.
Did you know that some people have talked about an SP bookie from there?
That would be on the pool room.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that, or don't you want to let out any secrets?
No, it was no secret. Everybody knew it was there. But, we were too young to go into the pool room in those days.
So there's a bit of action happening. And the other thing that I wonder if you want to talk about was there's not really a pub. Well, there's Headlands Hotel, but what about, you'd probably left by the time you could have gone to a pub, but most Australian towns have got one, but Ostimer didn't really.
No, Headlands Hotel was, it was a pub, but it was also the honeymoon hotel for people virtually coming all the way from Sydney. They used to come down by coach. And it used to be a big driveway in there, curved driveway, palm trees, the entrance. And as I said, it was the honeymoon hotel. Now it's a wreck.
Yes. It's a little treasure waiting to be revived, hopefully. Yeah. And you couldn't go to a pub here. You probably went, if you did go, you'd go to Thirroul, probably.
No, I don't.
It's not what...
Most people went from Aussie went to the hotel at Headlands.
It was close by here. You could walk there.
Yeah.
And when you went to school, how did you get there? Was it bus or train?
No, we walked from here to the railway station, usually about 8 o'clock, up at 8:15 in the morning, and we'd catch the 8 o'clock steam train from Austin Station, and we'd arrive at Wollongong at 9:30, just in time to go through the gates into Tech College.
And do you remember any events that happened in the time that you were here, like bushfires or drowning, shark attacks, centenaries or anything? Or was
Steady life, except when we lost one of our neighbour's girls down five houses down. She was murdered and left in the creek.
Murdered in Ostonmere? Really? What year was that?
Can you remember when the kids did that murder?
Well, maybe Roma can tell us about that when we talk to
her.
She probably remembers the name of the girl,
terrible.
Too. Yeah, she was friends of our girls.
So it was probably in the 60s or 70s. Right, and then you were here, that sort of moves on to, you were here until you joined the army, and then you were coming and going, and then you started to come back with your own family. You set up your family, you weren't living here, lived in Sydney or?
We lived at Ingleburn.
Right.
Holsworthy. In the outer suburb of Sydney. And then when I got out of the army, we moved down here.
When was that?
uh,
So how long have you lived in this house?
30?
No, Roma's going to fix up all these dates when she comes and talks to me. Because you've actually married Roma.
Yeah.
And we're going to interview Roma in a little while.
Yeah.
So you were coming back here. Your children had grown up.
No,
they came back and lived here too?
They all went to the schools up and down the coast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you lived in this house?
Yeah, we built this house after my mother died.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the old wooden one, you could poke your finger through the walls.
Mm.
The termites got into it.
Mm. That's the problem of coastal Australia, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so then you set up shop in a place that obviously you really liked, you know, you had fond memories of it. Mm. And your girls, did they go to Austin Republic School or?
I'll leave that
to, okay. Yeah. So maybe you can tell us about what are your networks that you've had of your neighbours and the church maybe. Mm. You know, what is it that's filled your days since you came back after you'd retired from the army? What's Austin been for you?
Well, mainly it's just normal. I go to Wollongong about once every 3 months, 4 months, maybe if I'm lucky.
Mm.
Other than that, stay in Austinmere and I play bowls at Scarborough Woombarra. I used to play bowls at Austinmere, but it closed. Bankrupt.
So it's got everything that you need, really.
It's got what I want, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So, the other thing with Austinmere was Sublime Point. And Bulleye Pass, not being Austinmere, but it's still part of the area. Well, we used to climb the ladders up the track from Buttonshaw Drive, but Wollongong Council don't seem to worry about it. You never hear about it in the papers, over the TV or anything, really, about the fact that there's a fantastic track going up there. Okay, you might get leeches on you now and again, but the actual climbing up the ladders and then getting to the top and going to the kiosk up there, I think it's reopened now, the kiosk, but that used to be virtually every 2 months for us kids to go up there. And the other one was we'd ride from here up Bulleye Pass, right along the top, because there wasn't that much traffic as there is now, and then we'd ride back down Stanwell Park. But
so you biked, you take your bikes?
We all had bikes, yeah.
Mm.
But I was surprised because they rebuilt the ladders up there at Sublime Point, but as far as publicity went, they forgot about it. All that money and all those aluminium ladders gone in and nobody uses them.
Were you here for the fires that destroyed the ladders? When was that, 67-ish or something, when the fires came down? No. So that was when you weren't here?
No, we were in New Guinea then.
Ah, okay.
We did have the big fire a couple of years back.
2001, I think it might have been.
And it got to the top of the escarpment just opposite us. And we were lucky, very, very lucky.
Mm.
We had the big sky cranes coming straight over the top of the house, putting them out about 2,000 yards the other side of the railway line.
And the fingers coming down the fire, down the escarpment.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said something about those fires and something came up about Clowes Park and they'd only just discovered Clowes Park. So you'd know Clowes Park.
Clowes Park up here? I must have been there.
I know.
Since
did you use it as a kid?
Only for...
football practice or something.
And
yeah.
It used to be a rifle range.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, if the northern end, there used to be a big steel concave section of, it was about 8 foot wide, about 4 foot high, and you used to be able to shoot into it. And that was the only place you were allowed along here, as far as I know.
Because when you mentioned a rifle range in your notes, I thought you were talking, there was a rifle range at Bulleye as well, a little one.
I don't remember that
okay.
one.
Okay, I didn't know about Clough Park.
That's where, yeah.
Oh, so did you have a gun? When was this, what were people using a rifle range? Just a sporting?
No, just, sporting, I suppose, and for chewing your sights on your rifle.
Mm, mm. But, gee, I wonder where that came from. Was that a post-war or...?
Yeah, I'd say so, because it was very seldom used. But I don't know whether it still sits there. But
I think it might, because the other day I was looking up some photographs on the web and there was a photo of this very overgrown little... in Clough Park, and someone was asking about it, which is funny that you should mention it because I've never heard of it. And they were asking if that was, what is this, at the far corner of Clough Park. And somebody had replied saying it's a part of the rifle range. And I thought, rifle range? And now you've mentioned it. That's very funny. Okay, what if I was going to ask you about some of the researchers... People have said that Austenmere is different to Thirroul and to Calder, to the adjacent villages, and there were some theories about why that might have been. Do you have any ideas about that? That always people thought they were a little bit different?
Well, we had the Grove. I don't know whether you've heard about the Grove. The Grove was the elite people, and... If you lived in the Grove, you were made. But
Some people told me that about Kennedy Hill as well.
No, Kennedy Hill was just ordinary. They were the ordinary people like the rest of us. Yeah, but the Grove was it.
Another class of people.
Another class of people. And we always wandered around there to have a look at these
special people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
is it because, I mean, what you're actually saying is that it's no special than anybody, any other place.
Not now.
No. and there was an idea that perhaps it was different because there wasn't really,
Thirroul's
a railway town and Calder was a mining and steel workers and maybe Austenmore was more holiday makers, but... Do you want to comment on that?
No, I'd say no, that wasn't that at all. I think it was just the fact that Austenmere, because I would say the hotel, the old Headlands Hotel, we had the... guest houses...
Hmm.
Which Thirroul didn't have.
Mm, mm. It was a holiday place, wasn't it?
It was a holiday place.
And that didn't really change.
No, because I can remember when the steam trains used to come through on a Sunday morning, the 10 o'clock train, by the time it got to here, it would be packed. And you would get something like... 200-300 people get off the train every Sunday morning during summer and walking down Moore Street.
Mm.
But it wouldn't happen in Thirroul.
No.
It was Austenmere was the place to come back in, even for surfing, because it was qualified as a safe beach for children.
So it had that brand of that image,
yeah,
and a place as a day for a picnic and a day at the beach.
Yeah. Was completely different to Thurl and Coaldale, because you could just walk down the street. Mm. There it was. Coaldale, you had to walk down the bloody great hill.
And walk back up at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Yes. And
it was easy to get to the station compared to Thurl or Coaldale.
Mm. So it's kind of like the landscape made it different. Yeah. The geography made it different.
Yeah.
Because all of those beaches along the coast, so Scarborough and Wambara, have all got beautiful beaches, but they're not as visible, and they're also a long way from the railway line. That's true. That's a very good point. I was also going to ask you about a multicultural Austenmere, because the Illawarra generally attracted lots of migrants, but do you have any recollections of people from Europe in particular?
Mainly Scottish and Irish. And to my mind, it's still the same. It hasn't, as far as the Asian people and the Middle East, it never ever changed. Mm. It's still Scottish and Irish. With a sprinkling of Chinese and Vietnamese.
Hasn't really been affected by that great shift in Australia.
No.
Okay, is there anything that I was that you maybe thought that you wanted to tell me that I haven't asked you about?
No.
Okay, well, let's call it a day, and we can come back if there's more to talk about. And I'm going to end the interview. It's 11:45, and then we will